Over the last few weeks, Parshas Yisro with Eser Sadibros, Parshas Mishpatim with all the dinim of Bezdin, of judges, of Edus, we've discussed a number of different topics in Mishpatim. You may remember to discuss the case of the Rofe, Verofo Yerape, whether or not a physician is allowed to administer medical cures, whether or not he's obligated to do so, who is obligated, under what conditions. One of the discussions that we didn't have a chance to address is the question of writing Bezrat Hashem in a letter. And of course, one of the Aseres HaDibros is Lo Sisa Es Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashov, taking the name of Hashem in vain. And essentially, this Isur prevents a person from, or I should say, enjoins a person from taking a vain oath, literally a shvua, in which he mentions the name of Hashem. And the Torah prohibits any shvua, even if it's a true shvua, if it has no purpose, if it is a waste of time. That's a sugya at the beginning of Temura. So even if a person were to take a shvua's emes that he didn't eat anything today, and there's no purpose in such a shvua, even though it's a true shvua, he violates the Isur of Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashov, if there was no point, if there's nothing compelling him to take the shvua, even though his shvua is the shvua's emes. Now, what I would like to discuss with you is someone who mentions the name of Hashem in a slightly different kind of tzura, a kind of a way. And that is that he opens his letter, let's say he writes a letter to someone with the letters Beis Hei, which are the initials Be'ezer Hashem. Now, of course, he's not enunciating the name of Hashem, so you can't say that he violates the Isur of Hazkar Shem Hashem Lashav. Nevertheless, since the Shem itself is mentioned by allusion, shall we say, the poskim are not necessarily so thrilled about it. They're not willing to sign on. And why is it that there is discussion about whether or not it's mutter, whether it's worthy to write Bezer Hashem? So if you take a look, for example, in the tshuvas of the Chavis Das of Rav Avadia Yosef Zichron Levracha in Chelek Gimel, he is in favor of writing Bezras Hashem in a letter, and he says the reason for that, based on Rashi in Breishis Chav Zayin describing Yosef HaTzadik, Shayashem Shamayim Shogur Al Piv. So that's one opinion, but we might find reason to be Choshesh for Bizayon Shem Hashem. People take the letter, they may throw it in the rubbish, and it's got the Shem Hashem on it, or at least an allusion to the Shem Hashem. And the question that we want to ask is there room for being a little bit more discreet, or shall we say a little bit more careful, about some possible disrespect for the name of Hashem that we write on a letter? Should we be more careful in all our communications that the Beis Hei, which refers to Hashem's name, should not be written? And another issue that could come up is with the American dollar bill. Because, as you all know, in the dollar bill it says, in a printed statement, "In God we trust." Should we be careful about handling a dollar bill? And we want to mention the Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches Amid Beis, the Gzeres Malchus, that during the time of the Greeks, they were trying to, of course, subjugate the Jews and quench any sort of sanctity and spirituality amongst the Jews, and they forbade even the very mention of the name of Hashem. And the Chazal made a takana. This was made by the Chashmonoim after they were victorious in the battle over the Greeks, that they would write, they should write in a shtar, Bishnas kach v'kach liyochanan kohen gadol le'el elyon. Now, once you add those last two words, you know, to a, in the context of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, we can imagine that there might be an issue about that. On the one hand, there was a desire to enact such a practice, but on the other hand, although one could perhaps bring support to this from the Shallah, the Shallah is the most famous of the Torah giants who advocates in favor of remembering Hashem as often as he can, so that when he writes the Shallah v'chein b'chol pe'ulu melacha sha'osehu b'b'chiraso hein dvar mitzvah hein dvar reshus yes shem shamayim shogur b'fonov befib, excuse me. So the Shallah for one advocates that in every action, in every mitzvah, anything that you perform out of free choice, you should have the name of Hashem, the name of Shamayim, Shogur Befiv, should be upon your mouth. And we can understand that the Chashmonoim, after the decree, the evil decree of the Yevanim, they had a desire to enact this practice, and they wanted to increase the mention of Hashem's name, even in the secular world, even in a context of documents, very ordinary documents. But the Gemara continues to tell us that lo nocha das chachamim mitakana zu. Why were the chachamim that dar unhappy about the enactment of the Chashmonoim? Says the Gemara, this is what the Chacham stated. L'kach amru l'mocher ze poreas chovim v'nimtza shtar mutol b'yashpa. When the lover will pay up his chov to the malve will throw out the shtar, or the lover gets it back from the malve, more accurately, and throws it out into the rubbish. And this will be a bizayin shem shamayim, because on the shtar itself, it says, le'alef lamed le'el elyon. So as a result of this fear, if you will, or hesitation and inhibition regarding the disrespect for the name of Hashem, the Chazal were mafkia, they were vatel this takona, this enactment of the Chashmonoim. And from the Gemara, you really get the impression that this was crucial in their eyes, the possibility of bizui shem Hashem, shem Kodesh. Even though it was written in a document, in a mundane, secular, daily document, if you will, it wasn't written l'shem kedusha. It wasn't written b'ashuris and al klav. Well, maybe they did use a klav for the shtar, but it wasn't written video and so forth and so on. And nevertheless, they repealed this enactment, and that's how the Ramah paskins in Yoredei Siman Reish Ayin Vav, that ein lichtov shemos kodesh beigros shlomim, that we do not write the name of Hashem, the holy name of Hashem, in an igeres, in some sort of a letter. The also lichtov shem lechatchila shelo basefer, as we write the name of Hashem only in a book. The Yochel Lovo, if you write it in Igeres, Yochel Lovo li debi soyim. If we're not careful about the name of Hashem, it might end up who knows where. L'kach nizhorim shalo lichtov shem b'Igeres. So the bottom line is that the Ramah warns us to be very careful not to write the name of Hashem in an ordinary letter. Now the Ramah seems to indicate that the chashash here is not mechikas Hashem, which is derived from another pasuk, lo sasu kein l'Hashem elokeichem, but the chashash is really bizoyen Hashem. So it's possible that mechika is not really commonplace, and that's not shchiach. But chacham nevertheless were choshesh for bizayon because that's common. Now I would like to call to your attention a tshuva of the Ein Yitzchak. The Ein Yitzchak was a gadol b'Yisrael some 120 years ago. He was Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, and he wants to prove she'ein kedusha l'kisvei hakodesh shenichtuv b'li kavanas kedusha, that the precondition for the care and the very demanding halacha regarding the shame, that's only if it was written for the intent of being kodesh. And how does Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan know this? That the precondition for the Kedushas Hashem is that it was written with a purpose of sanctity. He says because you can derive it from a halacha which is brought down in the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah Perek Vav Halacha Ches. The Rambam writes that originally mitchila lesar Ibud Kisvei HaKodesh. Originally, at the beginning of this parak, the Rambam quotes the halachas regarding destroying Kisvei HaKodesh. And then he adds, Bamed Dvar Mubi Kisvei HaKodesh Nichtavam Yisrael. Bikdusha Avapikoris Yisrael. Shekasav Sefer Torah is Sarfin also. Imaz Karashimbo. Benesha Eno Mamin Bikdusha Hashem Velo Kosvo Lishma. In other words, he may fool himself into thinking malabedaito shezek kishar dvar vahol vedaito kein lo niskadish Hashem. In other words, according to the Rambam, when it comes to an apikoris, let's translate the Rambam literally, a heretic, and he writes a Sefer Torah, then that Sefer Torah has to be burned with its names, with the names of Hashem, capital N. In other words, he doesn't believe, this heretic, in the Kedushas Hashem. And if he doesn't believe in the Kedushas Hashem, then he didn't write it, L'Shem Kedusha. And as a result, the shame is not miskadesh. And if it's not miskadesh, there's no isur bizayon to a shame that doesn't have kedusha to it. And therefore we burn the Sefer Torah together with its names. Now, according to the mindset, or in the perspective of the mindset of this apikoris, of this heretic, there really is no difference between the Shem Hashem and any other word. They're all the same, because he doesn't maintain any kedusha to the Shem. And therefore, it's obvious that he doesn't have the kavana l'shma, l'shem kedusha Hashem, when he writes the Sefer Torah. And therefore, we can get rid of the Sefer Torah. And in that same way, we find achronim that write that as kara nechteves betos ein bo kedusha. If somebody inadvertently wrote the name of Hashem, he was trying to write a different word. He wanted to write Yehuda and he left out the Dalit. Is according to the Shev Yaakov in interpreting the Rambam, and there are others who agree with the Shev Yaakov, and that's the Taz, the Marashtam, the Tashbetz, it would really seem that the din is the same b'makom shenichtav Hashem b'kavana Ashalova Kavanas Kedusha. In other words, that this love of Losasun Kain, Hashem Elokeich, only applies if it was written with a direct and definite intention to sanctify the name. In the absence of that, it doesn't have the Kedusha Hashem, and it doesn't come under the Iser love of Zilzul Bashem. And therefore, according to this approach, then when we get back to our cases, we don't really have to be choshesh bizoyon, according to this whole school of thought, in a case where there was an absence at the time of the writing the name of an intention, an explicit intention to be mekadesh the shem. The Netziv, you know, wrote a tshuva sefer called the Meshiv Davar, and he's famous for saying that if there was a shem that was written shelo l'shem kedusha, there's no isur mechika, and it's the same thing as there's no isur to be ma'abe that shem. No isur lo sasun kein l'shem elokecha. So our whole discussion has to be premised on the assumption that we're talking about a religious Jew who wrote the Shem Hashem with a kavanah to be mekadesh the Shem. If we're lacking that, then it would not be neither an isur lo sasun kein if we destroy that Shem, nor would it come under the isur of mechikas Hashem. So again, if for both sides we go with the approach of the Ein Yaakov in the name, the Ein Yitzchok in the name of the Shev Yaakov, based on the Rambam, then we could be a lot more laid back about all these cases where the Shem is written, and maybe on a dollar bill and so on, because it's not written with the express intention, kavana of L'Shem Kedushas Hashem. The problem is that this opinion, which we'll attribute now for the time being to the Ein Yitzchok, is not universally accepted. And in fact, the Shach seems quite clearly to disagree. And let me see if I can quote to you the language of the Shach. Just looking for that nusach. But let's just say over the Shach Baal Peh, and if we get a chance, we'll read the Shach inside. The Shach is in Yoredeya Simon Reish Ayin Vav, and he prohibits Mechikas Hashem even if it wasn't written L'Shem Kedusha. So although that whole school of thought represented by the Shev Yaakov, quoted by the Ein Yitzchak, would certainly be more lenient in the case of a shem that was written without kavana l'shem kedusha, the Shach nevertheless would prohibit it, at least as far as mechika is concerned. And the Shach is not alone on this, because if you take a look in the Prima Gadim is not here, but it's in Siman Kuf Nun Gimel, he says that there's an Iser Gamur even in a case where the Shem was not written L'Shem Kedusha. So it means, according to this opinion, when Chazal, as we mentioned before, in the case of the Chashmonaim, and that entire sugya in Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches, when they were inhibited about writing the name in Shtaros, they were worried about a shem that was written without the intention of the shem kedusha. And even though maybe the Chazal wouldn't have cared in such a case about bizayon, that I don't know, like if it gets thrown in the trash, but certainly they'd be worried about mechika. And it could also be, and that's what we have to see in the sugya in Rosh Hashanah. Let me just read to you the nusuk. He says, "Ein kavanas chachamim shechoshu l'bizayon." In other words, the problem here is a much more significant problem. We've been focusing mostly on the problem of bizayon of the shem. Because mechika, as we said before, is not very common. However, there is such an opinion that the problem of bizayon that Chazal raised on a shem that was written in a shtar can be extended even to the isur mechika, Because as we said before, the Shach and the Prima Gadim assume that there's an Issa Mechik of Shemos Shalonich to Vulashem Kedusha. So the question is, how do we apply all this lahalacha? Let's take, for example, the American dollar bill. So on the side, in the Halichos Shlomo, Perek Chaf, they quote Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he paskin that there's no chshash of bizoyon of Shem Hashem in a shtar dollar, even though it says that we in God we trust, right? And the reason for that is that Rav Shlomo Zalman took a look at Yoredeya Simon Kuf Ayin Tes. That's a whole different Simon. And there, there's no kedusha to a shame that's written in loazit, in a foreign tongue. Now, this is true even according to the Shach. So again, even though it's the Shach who's the big machmir in a shame that was written shalol shame kedusha, but nevertheless the Shach is mekil, other than the situation in which the shame was written in Lashon HaKodesh. Now again, the question is, do we accept that kula of the Shach, in which case the dollar bill would be no problem? And the answer is that a lot of poskim are not happy with this Shach. The tshuva here of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that we could be mekil in a shame that's not written b'loshen kodesh is contingent on the fact that it was not written l'shem kedusha. It was written by goyim in this case. So you combine the fact that it wasn't written l'shem kedusha, it was written by goy, and add to that the fact that it's not b'loshen kodesh. Those two combine to create a heter. Now, that doesn't mean that we can walk out of here thinking that it's okay to take an American dollar bill and do whatever you want with it. Because in fact, the Minchas Yitzchak, the Gravid here, Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Weiss, he writes that if according to the Shach, there's no Issa Mechika for Shemos Belazis, nevertheless, that's because the Issa Mechika is a more severe Iser, and therefore it's limited and circumspect in its application. On the other hand, with regard to the Iser Bizayon, to the shame, that has a, in a sense, a more lenient status, but therefore it has a broader scope. And even if the shtar, like the dollar, has an Iser Bizayon Hashem, that should come under this prohibition. Now there's a tshuva which quotes Rav Chaim Brisker, that's in a sefer called Tshuvas Van Hagos, and he says that Rav Chaim was nizhar shelo lahachnis matbeos hamudbos b'shem Hashem l'tok beis hakisim ekshas bizoyon. That in fact, Rav Chaim Brisker, this book called Tshuvas Van Hagos is written by Rav Moshe Sternbach. I don't know if you know him from Har Nov. And if there's a reference to the name of Hashem, you can't take it into the bathroom. That itself is disrespect for the shame. And notwithstanding the fact that the Shach would allow, or I shouldn't say allow, but would remove the Iser Mechika with regard to a shame laws, but nevertheless, as far as Bizayon is concerned, we have both the opinion of Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Weiss as well as the opinion of Rav Moshe Sternbach in the name of Rav Chaim, that there should be a care taken with regard to a name that wasn't written L'Shem Kodesh, and in fact L'Shem Hashem was not written by a Jew in this case, but nevertheless an Issa Bizayon Hashem applies. So whether or not this means it's a Cheftza Hashem L'chol Dinim, it might be a separate din of Bizoyin Hashem, which is totally not in the Cheftza Shel Shem and Achal Hashem Shem. For that we need Kavodah L'Kodesh, and certainly not printed dollars and names of God that were written by Goyim. But nevertheless, even in the absence of a true Chal Hashem, Shem Hashem, Shem Kodesh, but nevertheless, it is in reality, as far as the Metzius is concerned, it's a Shem Kodesh. And there's another Tshuva from the Chavis Yoyer, Rav Yair Bachrach, and he's quoted in the Mishnah Brura in Shin Lamed Dalet, Nun Beis, as saying that Shemos HaNichtovim Al Matbeos Ein Bahem Kedusha. He wants to take a more lenient view with regard to names of Hashem written on coins. Shekein nechshav adavar ki'ilu nichtavu b'fer shelo l'shem kedusha l'shem chul. In other words, enochinami, the absence of a definite kavana l'shem kodesh would not be enough, if I could say it that way, I hate using two negatives, but not be enough to remove our concern about Bizayon Hashem. But on the other hand, even in the absence of a positive kavana l'shem kedusha, in the case of a negative kavana shelo l'shem kedusha, where you have a certain purpose in mind, and in this case it's chulin, not kodesh, in such a case, there's no iser mechika, and perhaps, I don't know, it's not clear from the writings of the Chavis Yoyer as to whether or not there's an Iser Bizoy. So now let's get back to our original question about writing Baruch Hashem Beis Hei in a Mechtav and an Igeres. And what we want to study is the Tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein in Yoredei Chelik Beis Siman Kuf Lamed Ches. He in turn starts by quoting the Ramah in Yoredei Siman Reish Ayin Vav, She'ein Limchok Osios Hashem Shehudpesu B'Sidurim El Tzorech. In other words, we're talking about the Iser Mechikas Hashem in regard to something that's printed. And the Ramah is formulating a basic distinction between that which is printed, but it's printed in a form that's not written out, and it's the Shem Hashem doesn't appear with every single letter, it's just Yud Yud, and it was printed. And regarding this, the Ramah says that you should definitely abstain from Mechikas Hashem. Now, of course, we're not talking about a Chalu Shem, Cheftz Shel Shem, because there are different letters that are replacing the name of Hashem, Yud Yud. And not only that, it's being published in a printed form, you know, mass produced. There's no personal individual kavan over here. So for sure, it's not a Cheftz Shel Shem, L'chol Adinim, in order to, and that would engender an Isur Doraisa L'tasun Kein, but rather, nevertheless, it's a Chumrah, perhaps Midrabanan, not to be Mochek these Osios. And Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Igros Moshe quotes the Ramah, She'ein, and based on the Ramah, he writes, Ein Lichtov Osios Beis Hei B'Mechtovim. Why shekein os hey af he os me osios Hashem v'chal of iser mechika ukmo chen yesh lesser bashlochaso b'makom bizayon. So basically, just to summarize in our own words, the tshuva of the Igros Moshe, he says that although there's no strict prohibition in joining us from writing Beis Hei, but nevertheless, although it's not forbidden technically, he doesn't see any great, shall we say, virtue in writing the divine name and writing Beis Hei, Baruch Hashem, in a letter. So because the letter Hei is one of the letters of Shem Hashem, and therefore Rav Moshe paskins that we should be very careful about writing Beis Hei in a letter. There will be an Iser Mechika, and how much more so an Iser of Bizayon Lashem if you throw this letter into the garbage. And Rav Moshe continues and he says that with regard to what goes on in America, although technically, as we said before, there's no prohibition against writing Beis Hei, the chance of the letters being directly erased are slight. And you might even argue that what are the chances that that the paper will be treated with disrespect? But nevertheless, he says that he thinks it should be awesome. And there's no, as we said before, there's no great virtue in writing Beis Hei on the top of a letter. Now, he writes the following, that there are poskim who question the very premise that the Hay of Beis Hay is actually one of the names of the Shem Kodesh Vashem. Because it's very possible that the Hay here is not coming from the Yud Kei Vav Kei, but rather the Hay is coming from the word Hashem. Hashem is written in the Trikon as Hay. Like when we say Baruch Hashem or Bezer Hashem, that's what the Hay is. And that would mean that the Hay itself possesses absolutely no kedusha whatsoever. And there should be no problem halachically in writing Beis Hei on a piece of paper or on the top of a letter. The Ramah is quoted in the Tshuva of the Igros Moshe. And as we saw earlier, the Ramah prohibits erasing the name of Hashem, even though it's written as Yud, Yud. That would seem to be a problem for Rabbi Moshe's assumption, because Beis Hei and Yud Yud sound pretty similar, and the Ramah is Machmir in two Yuds. Why shouldn't the same thing apply to Beis Hei? But the answer is Pashut, because in the case of Yud, and especially two Yuds, is the Yud itself comes from the Kiddush, from the Shem Kodesh. The first Yud is the first letter of Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The second Yud is the last letter of Adnos, because we say Ado and then we say Noi with the Yud at the end. So we're taking two Shemos, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Adnos, putting them together and producing two Yuds. And on the contrary, in the case of Beis Hei, we had a possibility to say that the Hei has no connection with the Shem Kodesh. It only refers to the Shem, to the word Hashem. But with regard to the two Yuds, it would seem quite clear that that's a reference to the Shem Kodesh, to Yud Kei Vav Kei and Adnos. So it doesn't surprise us that the Ramah would prohibit erasing the name of Hashem even though it's abbreviated by two Yuds. But we might be more lenient in the case of Beis Hei, because the Hei itself is not a letter in the Shem Hashem, but rather it's the first letter representing Hashem. But at the end of the day, although Rav Moshe is not happy, he doesn't see any great yashar koach and virtue if you add Beis Hei at the front of a letter, but nevertheless, he thinks it's technically, legally, according to halacha, strictly there's no iser against writing Beis Hei. And we had a variety of reasons, either because we're not afraid that someone will transgress and violate the kedusha. That's one way of saying it. Or we could say that the Hay itself is not a letter of Hashem's name. Now, I'd like to mention to you the Maratz Chayis, which I think I have here for you on the page. Let's just see if we can find it. Shuvas Maratz Chayis, it's on the bottom left column, towards the end of the page. He writes that the letter Hey has Kedusha, and therefore one should be more inhibited about writing Beis Hei. But he says, Yesh lahatik sivas os dalid she'ein ba kedusha. that the letter Dalet has no Kedusha whatsoever. And so far it's not part of Yud Kei Vav Kei. It could be possible that if you go back to the time of the Matzchayis, they didn't use the term Hashem as often, as frequently as we do, and therefore maybe the hay for the Matzchayis is really the hay from the Shem, whereas if you write a Dalet, that's not even that's not even one of the letters of the Shem. So again, whether or not the hay has connection with the Yud Kei Vav Kei of Hashem's name, obviously the Ramah says no, and that's what the Igros Moshe is pointing out, but the Maratzchai says yes, perhaps because he lived in a world where they didn't say Hashem. In any event, I wanted to mention to you that Tzitz Eliezer and Chelech Chaf Beis, a massive work of Tshuvas, brings a long list of poskim who are not at all concerned about writing the letters Beis Hey at the beginning of a Mechtav. So let's just sort of summarize what we've seen until this point, and then maybe we could talk a little bit more about the physician if we have time. That according to many poskim, the letters Beis Hey at the beginning of a letter are okay because the letter Hey is short for the word Hashem, but it's not borrowing, we're not borrowing or duplicating the letter Hey from Hashem's name. And even though the Igros Moshe is a little bit hesitant about that, but he says that if you're writing a letter in a place which is disrespectful, or a place where it's very likely that there will be disrespect, then we should avoid writing any words that would indicate Hashem's name. Now, let's say you received a letter and it has Beis Hay on it. What's the deal? Do you have to be very careful about it? But the impression you get is that we should be a little bit more careful about this and stick to the... We should be concerned with the possibility that the hay is a letter from Hashem's name, and perhaps we should not be so quick to throw such a letter into the garbage. Maybe we should wrap it up in plastic and then throw it away, like we do with leftover foods during Shavuos. And the same could apply not only to letters, but occasionally you get things in your mailbox, publications and rags and so forth. You get newspapers from a religious company, and they write Beis Hay on it. So we might want to be a little bit more careful about this. Again, if it's written in English, then as we saw in the name of Shlomo Zalman, we could be even more mekil. According to Rav Moshe, it would seem that even when there's no strict Isser involved, we still have to be more careful to avoid Bizoyin Hashem. Now, with regard to the Rofe, and we've begun to discuss the Rofe, it's obviously a very long and broad topic. We'd like to establish a few points. Now, point number one is the following. We should make a distinction between the Chola himself and the Rofe, because with regard to the Chola, we had that discussion in the Ramban. I don't want to go over it again. The Ramban and Bechukosai about whether or not the Chole should be seeking out a medical advice and medical help. Maybe perhaps he should be. There's a decree from heaven that he should be ill, and therefore he should be healed in accordance with Hashem's will, and he should be turning to Hashem for prayer. However, with regard to the Rofe himself, the Ramban seems to take a different approach. The Ramban says that nitna reshus l'rofi l'rapos, although it might not apply that same reshus to the chola, but nevertheless, with regard to the rofe, he has an obligation to administer medical help. And the Ramban writes, Kevon she hachole bolis rapos, shenoy berfuos, meaning the chole is not willing to rely on tefillah alone. That's a whole different story. And the question is, again, the Gemara's language, as we saw, was reshus. Right, that was the language of Rabbi Shmuel and the Braisa. Okay. But nevertheless, as we will see, it goes beyond reshus. Reshus just removes, you know, any of the hesitations and the inhibitions of a rofe to take on this challenge and this endeavor. But once the Torah says that there is reshus for a rofe l'rapos, then it becomes a mitzvah. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch codifies it in Yerodei Siman Shin Lamed Vav. Nosna Torah reshus l'rofe l'rapos u'mitzvahi b'chlal pikuach nefeshi. So we can talk about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda as being the source for this mitzvah. We could talk about V'Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha V'Cheyachicha Imach. All these would probably be good fits to understand halachically why the doctor is obligated to administer medical help in order to heal his patient. So again, the main principle here that the Shulchan Aruch is codifying is, and it's based on the Ramban, is that once the Torah gave permission for the rofe l'rapos, now it becomes a mitzvah. And that's what we saw in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea Simon Shin Lamed Vav. Okay. Now, there's another diyun in the Rishonim, which I have to call to your attention, and that is the principle of Osek B'mitzvah, Potem in a Mitzvah. The source for Osek B'mitzvah, Potem Mitzvah, of course, the Mishnah in Sukkah regarding Shluchei Mitzvah, Pturim in HaSukkah, Cholin U'misham Sheyam, Pturim in HaSukkah. So those who are involved in taking care of the Choleh are Potem from the Mitzvah of Sukkah. And presumably that principle of Osek B'mitzvah, once it applies to the case of someone who is metapel, who is meshamech the chol, then it could apply and should apply to the rofe as well. And this is quite clear from the Rishonim and Poskim that we'll see. But first, I want to tell you something that you may not know, that the Ritva in Sukkah goes out of his way to point out that Osek Mitzvah Potem Mitzvah really means that Osek B'mitzvah is also Lolakayim Mitzvah Cheres. He doesn't have a choice. It's not that he could drop the first mitzvah and pick up the second mitzvah. He doesn't have that option at all. Now Rashi in Sukkah assumes that even when they were resting at night in their travels as Shluchei Mitzvah, they were still Potem in a Sukkah. And Tosfos understood in Masechta Sukkah that what Rashi is saying is that even when you have the possibility of fulfilling two mitzvahs, nevertheless, you began one mitzvah and you're potter from the second mitzvah. So again, Tosfos accuses Rashi of maintaining that even if in a case was Efshel Lekayim Shtei HaMitzvahs, nevertheless, you're potter from the second mitzvah. And Tosfos says that's not true. Because let's say, for example, a person is wearing tefillin. Are you going to tell me he's potter in a mitzvah? But the answer is, it's all a question of efshel l'kayim shteyan. If it's efshel l'kayim shteyan, then he's obviously obligated in both. Rashi, on the other hand, understood there's a chalos p'tur min a mitzvah because he's osek b'mitzvah. We don't have to ask questions like, oh, but maybe as a result, why don't we have to ask the question and be worried about the fact that as a result of applying Osek mitzvah potter and a mitzvah, even when it's Efshel Kaim Shneim, like someone who's wearing tefillin, then you'd be pottering him from all the mitzvahs in the world. So the Ran disagrees with Tosfos, and he says that a person could be considered Osek b'mitzvah potter and a mitzvah, even if at this moment he's not actively implementing the mitzvah. Like, for example, the case of Chonim at night when they go to sleep, that we saw in Rashi in Sukkah Chaf Hei. And therefore, Osek mitzvah potter mitzvah applies even if Yochel Kaim Shtehem, but as long as he's being Osek b'malachto shel makom, b'malachto shel mitzvah. The Torah is saying that once you're holding on to one mitzvah, you're exempt from running around looking for another mitzvah. And the Ran says, Vadai kol she'eino tzorach l'tzroach klal el kedarko b'mitzvah rishon yachol lotzei sidei shneim. So what is the Ran saying over here? That it's quite clear that if there's no tircha whatsoever to fulfill the second mitzvah, but as he's on the way to do the first mitzvah, he could be mekayim the second mitzvah, then for sure he should implement both. So let's just try to summarize the Ran. Someone involved in a mitzvah is exempt from another mitzvah, even though he could fulfill both of them, meaning the Torah exempted anyone who's involved in Hashem's avodah, God's work, from going to the trouble of fulfilling other mitzvahs. He can focus all his attention on the first mitzvah, even though it's possible for him to do both. But yet the Ran concedes that if someone does not need to expend any special effort to fulfill both mitzvahs, so by asking him, imposing part of a second mitzvah, it's not something unreasonable, you know, we're not asking for who knows what kind of effort. Then the Ran says, although you're not obligated to do both, you should do both. Now the question is, how do we paskin in this machlokes? And here we want to take a look at the Ramah in Or Chaim Simon Lamed Ches. And the Ramah seems to assume that when the Shulchan Aruch says that Kosvei Tefillin Mezuzas Heim V'Tagreihem V'Tagrei Tagreihem V'Chol Oskim Lech Shemayim Peturim Mi'Anochas Tefillin Kol Hayom Zulas B'Shas Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, and I'll explain this in just a minute. The Ramah adds V'Im Hayu Tzrichim Lasos B'Malachton B'Shas Kriyat Shema Tefillah Is Peturim Mi'Kriyat Shema Tefillah V'Tefillin Chol Oskim Mitzvah Achas Potem Mitzvah Cheres Im Tzorch L'Tzorch Achim Mitzvah Aval Im Yochel Asol Shteyem Ke Achas Pelo Tircha Is Yase Shteyem. So let's just summarize both the Mechaber and Ramah. The Mechaber is writing that those who are scribes who write Tefillin and Mezuzahs, and they're basically salesmen, but since they're involved in Meleches Shamayim, they're involved in the holy heavenly work, therefore they're exempt from putting on tefillin the entire day. Okay, they'll have to put it on during Shema and Shmon Esrei, but basically they're part of Minat Tefillin. So the Ramah adds, and this is what we quoted before, Mayitzrichim Lasos Malachta Meshas Kriyat Shema, they absolutely must go to work at the time of Kriyat Shema, at the time of Tefillin, at the time of Mezuzah, whatever it is us, Peturim Mikriyat Shema, Utfila, Utfilin, Chalosik V'mitzvah, Potim Mitzvah. So the Ramah writes that if you have someone like a scribe who writes Tefillin and Mezuzah, and they absolutely must do their work, then even during the time of Kriyat Shema and Tefila, they're exempt from Kriyat Shema and Tefila, because they're involved in a mitzvah, and Osek v'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah. Again, if he, without any trouble, he can perform the second mitzvah, then that's what he has to do. But he's not going to drop the first mitzvah in order to do the second mitzvah. In fact, we saw the Ritva that he's not allowed to drop the first mitzvah and pick up the second. So basically what we see here in this Ramah is that he's accepting the Ran as opposed to Tosfos, and a person does not have to expend any extra effort in order to pick up a second mitzvah while he's involved in the first mitzvah. If one single maisa can suffice for both mitzvahs, then he'll do that. And the reason for all this is because the Torah doesn't want to obligate us one second, I lost the Ramah here. Oh, here it is. He's saying that the Torah did not obligate someone who's involved in doing Melecha Shamayim to take the trouble to fulfill other mitzvahs, even though, again, it's feasible. I think this Ramah is hook, line, and sinker, the Ran that we saw before. And we apply all that we've learned to the case of a physician. And as we saw in the case of Mochrei Tefillin, Sochrei Tefillin, what we can have here is a din of Osek b'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah. Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham adds a comment here. Let me see if I can find it. The Ramah wants to distinguish between someone who's selling tefillin simply for the sake of financial gain, l'shem schar, as opposed to someone who's giving it out l'shem mitzvah. Mashvei says the imosek kedei l'staker bo lo mikri osek b'mitzvah. So that's a very important comment of the Magen Avraham that could have or might apply to doctors. And that is that according to Magen Avraham, if your intention is to sell something for profit, that's not called Osek B'mitzvah. You have to be purely L'shem Shomayim. Now, if this be the case, let's take a look at the Gemara Nedarim, which seems to conflict here. The Gemara Nedarim Adaf Lamin Gimel implies that Matzah Aveda Havi Osek B'mitzvah Pishonot Yitzchar, the famous Pruta de Rav Yosef, he could be potter from other mitzvahs, and that's because he's involved in Hashavas Aveda. And the Gemara assumes Afal Pishen Notel Olav Schar, which means that even though he's being paid for returning the object, nevertheless he's being Osek B'mitzvah and he's potter in a mitzvah. So the Mishnah Brura in his Bir Halacha offers a number of different mahalchim here. I don't know if we'll have time to go through this all, but he suggests the possibility that Masha Notel Schala Shav Savedo Enil Schar Batola. Below Schala Shava Atzma, that in the case of Machzer Aveda B'Schar, he's considered an Osek B'Mitzvah, as the Gemara establishes in the Dharma Lamed Gimel, again, Afal Pishanotel Schar, and the reason for that is he's being paid for Schar Batola. We're not paying him for the actual Ashava, the Mitzvah itself. He gives a second explanation. He writes, Ikar Kavanoso. What motivates him is the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. It's not like someone who goes into a religious field like writing tefillin and so forth for the sake of listaka to make money. And all this has to impact our question about a rofe. What is the status of a physician? Is he obligated to fulfill mitzvahs when he's doing his job, or is he potter in a mitzvah? And this all seems to be contingent on these two definitions. You know, if you're going to tell me, well, his kavana is l'shem mitzvah, like in the case of Hashavas Aveda, and he gets paid in any event, well, I'm not sure if that's going to apply every single rofe. There may be a few idealistic few. And if you want to talk about the case of schar for Hashavas Aveda as schar batola, once again, it's not quite clear if the rofe is being paid schar batola. I mean, one could argue that this rofe could have gotten a job working for non-Jews, and he decided, no, he wants to work for Jews. We should pay him what he would have gotten paid if he had worked, in the hospital with non-Jews. So if you take a look at the Nishmas Avram of a rofe, a rabbi by the name of Avram Sofer in Or Chaim Lamed Ches, he cites Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, and I'm just going to give you the upshot of it. Again, we're talking about the exemption of a physician from mitzvahs, and if we assume that he's being paid for his work, and genat schar batola, and in that case, I don't know if osig mitzvah would apply. It's not like the case of Hashavas Aveda, the way we saw it in the Mishnah Berurah. On the other hand, one could say that since his intention is to heal, maybe that puts him in the category of Hashavas Aveda, where his main intention is to do the mitzvah, not to be paid. Notice in the case of somebody who sells tefillin, he's just thinking about the price. But in the case of a doctor, when he's diagnosing a patient, he's not thinking about his compensation, he's thinking about healing. And that itself might be a mitzvah. So Rav Sofer, or Rofe Sofer, says that although doctors and nurses are paid for their work, they are still considered as returning lost objects, for there is surely no greater return of a lost object than healing. Remember, we had a discussion before, what is the mitzvah of refuah? And if it comes under Hashavas Aveda, then just like in Hashavas Aveda, the Gemara in the Dharma applies the principle of osik mitzvah potter in a mitzvah, so too, we can say the same about the Hashavas Aveda of a Rofe. As we're talking about people here, a Meshav Aveda or a Rofe, who, when they're actually involved in their work, they're not thinking about the profit. They're really dedicated to Hashavas Aveda. He's, in the case of the Rofe, he's involved and dedicated to healing the patient. And that is the mitzvah itself of Hashavas Aveda. The fact that he gets paid does not in any way detract or undermine his Iker Kavana. And the one who writes a lot about these issues is Rav Yeshua Neuwirth, and he's of the opinion that even when the physician is not actively involved in healing, he's performing related duties, he's exempt from other mitzvahs. And therefore, Rofe would be potter from tefillah under the law of osik mitzvah potter min mitzvah, not only when he's actually in examining the patient or treating the patient, but even in the case where he is writing a record for medical purposes of the patient's medical history. Or even, and this is how far Rav Neuwirth goes, if he's writing release documents, he's signing an assure to the hospital that his patient could go back home, that also is considered osek to be mitzvah. Now, a lot of this has to do with the sugya in Brachos about oskim b'imames, those who are involved in the kvura, etc., but we don't have time for that now. But we did actually cover most of what we wanted to cover, and we'll stop here. So we had two discussions: one about the Issur of Mechikas Hashem, about dollar bills, about writing Beis Hay on a letter, and a discussion about whether the principle of Osik Mitzvah Potem Mitzvah applies to the Rofei.